Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
And she will be there at our final show for 2010 next week, but for the meantime, in her final book review of 2010, Cara Martin has been taking a look back at a 2009 work by Booker Prize-winning author Margaret Atwood. It's called The Year of the Flood, a pretty scary novel, which sounds very fascinating, and yes, indeed, a little bit scary. Hello, Cara.
Greetings, Sheridan.
Very, very kind of apocalyptic, this book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually sort of pre and post-apocalyptic, and even the pre part is not that fun as a world. What Margaret Atwood has done, and it's a follow-on to an earlier novel she did, Oryx and Crake, that people might be familiar with, is basically paint a picture of what happens when you extrapolate some of the things that we see starting now. So in this world, biotechnology has gone a little crazy, materialism and consumerism are rampant, we've really basically wiped out the environment, but nature's ready to fight back. Mm-hmm. And the whole story is told through female eyes. But the two narrators, one of the things as a female reading this book is that when survival is on the line, you just realise how vulnerable women are. And certainly mm-hmm. with these female narrators, there's some horrible violence that is affected against them. I found that very confronting.
So Margaret Atwood has kind of looked at things that are happening now and yep. just kind of extrapolated and said, okay, if this was taken to its extreme, yep. this is what we might see in the future.
Yeah.
So describe the kind of future that she paints. I mean, it's quite bleak.
It is. So we have, in terms of biotechnology and genetic modification, we have pigs that have been bred with human brain tissue because pigs are actually producing most of the human organs, which, I mean, has actually started now. Mm, but the idea of actually growing brains in pigs is an interesting idea. And what happens is, because of this apocalyptic event, the pigs have broken out, and really intelligent pigs are really scary. And there's
sounds
a bit of
laughable, but she pulls it off.
Oh,
she?
Absolutely. There's pigs. a bit Orwellian about that too. You know, the pigs have taken over. But there's also a bit of a biblical slant to that whole thing as well. There's a religious cult who believe that Jesus won't come again until the lions and the lambs have lain down together. So they've actually bred lions and lambs together and come up with the liaband, which is a really cute creature, but very deadly.
The lion and the lamb, the liaban.
Yeah, that's right. So there's some really interesting ideas about what happens when we start sort of mucking around with biotechnology in that way.
Now, the previous book that you said, what was the name of it?
Oryx and Crake.
Oryx and Crake. Mm. And that was kind of the same kind of thing told through the eyes of a male, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And then this one is through the eyes of a female. Now, you were touching on before just the state of women then in this post-apocalyptic Orwellian future. And it gets pretty bad. I mean, they're prostituting themselves out in the lot.
Yeah, well, the two women, Toby and Wren, they've been raped, they've been kept as sexual slaves, they've been pimped, they've used sexual favours themselves to trade for food and safety. You just realise when life is reduced to the basic level, women are particularly vulnerable. And I guess the reality is that some aspects of this novel are the reality for women in some parts of the world. Made me really aware of we have our EEO and all those other things, these structures we have that help protect women in our society. But if some of those structures are removed, what happens?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, you mentioned this Christian cult.
Yeah, there is this. A couple of sort of cults mentioned in this book, but the book really follows the God's gardeners, and they're actually they're a little bit weird, but they're also pretty cool. They actually rescue Toby and Wren, so they're a caring group in a society that has become very individualized. So they live as a community, and as well as looking out for kids that are in danger, like Toby and Wren were, they're also looking to try and hold on to God's creation. And so they're particularly concerned about making sure that species of plants and animals don't die out. They're the ones who actually foretell this apocalyptic event that is going to happen. And they're trying to warn people that there is something bad coming and people better wake up and realise that this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, the book we're talking about is The Year of the Flood by Margaret Atwood, and it's Cara Martin, our book critic, telling us about it. Open house across the nations, which you're listening to. Okay, so we've got these brainy pigs, and we've got all this kind of apocalyptic destruction happening. We've got women in really, really bad situations. Biotechnology's gone crazy. Around about this time, a whole bunch of folks are going, so why are we reading this book? I mean, is there, you don't have to give us the punchline by any means, but is there hope? Is there redemption? Is there some sort of, or is it all through this kind of cool but slightly weird Christian cult, the God's Gardeners?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, there's a point at which you sort of laugh at these God's Gardeners because, I mean, they dress really simply and they've got some sort of back to basics type practices, and basically I think they're looking and living like Jesus did in lots of ways, but that looks pretty weird in a world in the
like
future.
This, that is so weird.
Yeah, that's right. So in some ways they're sort of, you laugh at them a bit, but in other ways you've got to admire what they're doing. And when the apocalypse actually happens, this major event happens, it's mostly the God's Gardeners that survive. There aren't many that survive this major event. And partly they survive because they were concerned about it, because they're on the side of nature, for one thing, and because they've got a sense of purpose in life. They've got a sense of hope, and they're a community. They look out for each other and care for each other. Mm. And that's what the rest of the world doesn't have much of at that time.
Now, this raises the question about Margaret Atwood, the author, and where she might be at religiously, spiritually, whatever. I remember last time we spoke about her was the book that she'd written called Payback, which wasn't a novel. It was actually a non-fiction book.
That's right. And there were definitely some Christian-type themes that came through that book. And in this book, interspersed with the narratives of Ren and Toby, are these sermons from Adam One, who is the head of the God's Gardeners. And they're pretty decent sermons. Mm. And there are also hymns. And she mentions that the hymns are inspired by the poetry of William Blake and also from the Anglican Church of Canada's hymn book. So she's obviously...
And she's a Canadian herself, isn't
yes,
she?
Yes, that's
she's
right.
Pulling those things in there.
Yeah, so I think she knows the territory well. I'm not sure what her personal beliefs are, and I did some research, but she doesn't speak openly about it. But she knows it all really well. And there's a point at which, I mean, the God's Gardeners aren't perfect. There's a point at which some of their hypocrisy emerges. And the reality is that, I mean, we're all sinful. So, I mean, it's quite reasonable. It wouldn't have felt as real if they were absolutely perfect. But there's actually a point in the book where she talks about sin I find in literature that not many people actually talk about what is at the core of sin. But she actually at one point has someone saying, the biggest problem we have on earth is humans. Humans are the source of the cruelty and the pain and the suffering and the wars and the terror. Now, how do you actually deal with that problem? This person's way of dealing with it was to get rid of all the humans, which is the extreme thing. But then we get that sense of Noah and the flood and what was happening there as well. But, I guess knowing that Jesus came to actually deal with that problem is a much better solution in my book.
Indeed.
Thank you, Lord.
Indeed. Amen to that. So your final verdict then on the year of the flood?
Oh, look, this raises so many interesting issues. It makes you really think about some of the things that are happening and what are the consequences if they do get taken out. There's one part I'll mention which is just interesting because we've had a bit of a debate about euthanasia raised just in the last couple of months in our parliament. And there's a point at which you see this one of the characters going through the issues of euthanasia, and she moves from shock, I am killing this person, to acceptance, I'm helping her die, to almost a defence saying I'm fulfilling her wishes. And so you go through this whole moral dilemma of euthanasia and comes out, oh, it's okay because I'm fulfilling her wishes. And I just think there's a lot of issues in our society where we're going that similar sort of track of from this is wrong to, well, it's okay if this person wants it to be.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
So I think there's some really strong messages that come through the book along those lines. So I hope it's widely read.
Okay. Mm. All right. The book is The Year of the Flood by Margaret Atwood and our literary critic, who, by the way, gave us a lovely, lovely review of Open House Volume 3 during the week. I haven't even mentioned that. I haven't even spoken to you since. Thank you very much. That was very, very nice.
It's on our website. Well, it was well worth it. Oh,
thank you. Cara Martin. We'll see you next week too.
Yeah,
we'll
looking forward to it. Thanks,
Cara Martin, our book critic.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.